Please turn in the back of our Psalter hymnals to page 8. Page 8, the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1, question and answer 1. Last week we concluded a series, Principal Truths of the Christian Faith, as summarized in our Confession of Faith. And we begin a series, Principal Truths of the Christian Faith, as summarized in the Heidelberg Catechism. Page 8. This week we'll consider question and answer 1. Lord willing, next week, question and answer 2. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to Him, Christ, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. Let us take our Bibles and turn first the Old Testament to Psalm 91. Psalm 91, we'll read the entire chapter. It's found on page 631. We sang from this psalm just before we began reading. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague shall come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's turn in the New Testament to the book of Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 14. It's found on page 1243. Ephesians 3, verse 14 and following. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Congregation, imagine there are some of our number who remember an event from almost 60 years ago. This fall, the Cuban Missile Crisis. Those who know their history, those who lived through this know that America came to the brink of nuclear war, the Soviet Union, with that. Before then, and especially afterward, there was much anxiety about a nuclear war. Children, you can't imagine what that's like, to live with having drills where you have to go into school, into the hallway, in case there's a nuclear explosion nearby. But that's what many lived with for a long time. Well, today it would not need to be Russia or even a country that could attack us with a nuclear device. It could be a terrorist organization. Or consider how the coronavirus pandemic continues to sweep across the world. No nation is immune to it. We live in an insecure world. Ever since Adam's fall into sin, mankind has lived in an insecure world. But in the past 100 years or so, it seems that the effects of this insecurity have grown. The potential harm has increased. Man, think of destructive weapons like nuclear weapons, tanks, chemical, biological weapons. Think of travel abilities where a virus can spread from China to the U.S. in a day. Think about all the technology around, all the harm that can be done. Think of how interconnected world economies are and how a job can be shipped across the world such that a worker here competes with one in Mexico or even China. There are many blessings from the advancements we've seen in the last century, but also many problems. We have a much, much higher standard of living than our great-grandparents did. Part of that, the cost, is a greater level of earthly insecurity. It seems like both the good and the harm have increased. Technology has advanced, much change has occurred in our world, but mankind ultimately has not changed. True religion has not changed. God's word has not changed. God, he has not changed. And as both the good and the bad, though, have increased in the world, it makes all the clearer the blessedness of walking with God. Blessing that is ours. As I proclaim to you, live securely by living with God. Live securely by living with God. Now, some might respond to that statement and say, what security? Well, we consider that first in our first point. What security? So what kind of security are we talking about for the Christian? Well, it's not nuclear security. It's not economic security. It's not political security. It's not health security, crop security, job security. It's not any of those things that people around us, perhaps we ourselves at times, fret about. Walking with God, living with God, won't guarantee that Dutton will be healthy and wealthy while the rest of the state or the nation or the world falters, perhaps even fails. If earthly security was what we're talking about, then what value is it walking with God? Because insecurity has grown. Earthly insecurity is all around us. We ourselves are faced with it. Now, some respond by denying that the insecurity exists. They refuse to face facts, and they paint international tensions, social strains, economic troubles, health concerns with cheery words, with chipper sayings that don't really help at all. They just blind one to the disaster, to the danger. Now, some respond by living their lives as though that bigger picture doesn't exist. They focus just on themselves. Some do that because they can't deal with that insecurity. It debilitates them. And so in order to function at all, they close off the world around them. Maybe they lose themselves in work or in sports or in television, in alcohol, in drugs, in video games. These are a great problem in our society. You can see it by the increase, we're told, of suicides. The despair that's out there. Maybe that's something you struggle with, that despair, or escapism, rather than face the issues, run off into a world where you don't have to face them. Sometimes people use religion as an escape. Not true religion, but religion as another means of escape, often looking for emotional experiences. These are a way of just avoiding problems. Proverbs 22, verse 3 says, the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. Now, some respond by taking the perspective that, yes, there is no security, so live anyway. Grit your teeth, face the uncertainty, act like a man. People who take that view often mock religion as a type of security blanket that some people use to deal with, to cope with the insecurity of life. They think there's really no use for true religion. They group it with false religion. Well, what security could there be in the world? What security is there for you and me? There is security. We read of it throughout Psalm 91. A wonderful psalm of security. Here again, it's just some of it. Verse 1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. We could go on and on and on and read that psalm again. Now, as some read this psalm, they think it promises earthly security. Security as the world looks for it, but it doesn't. Now, how do we know? Well, in the New Testament, this psalm very much was spoken in reference to Jesus. Rightly spoken in reference to Jesus. What did Jesus endure, though? Children, you know. Suffering. Great suffering. God preserved and guarded Jesus until it was the right moment for him to suffer. To suffer in our place, to fully pay for all our sins with his precious blood. Jesus, the Son of God, suffered and died, yet God raised him on the third day and exalted him to the highest place of heaven. Not earthly security as people look for here below, but ultimate security. This psalm does not have its focus on earthly security, but true, lasting, eternal security, which finds its fulfillment in the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday, the resurrection of all God's children, our resurrection, your resurrection, on the last day when Jesus returns to this earth. And the reason for all this wonderful blessing of security in Psalm 91 is because God is our refuge and our fortress, my God in whom I trust. He says, with long life I will satisfy him, verse 16, and show him my salvation. Right there. Now some will say that the righteous don't have what the psalmist says he'll have. But again, we need to have the eternal perspective, that perspective focused in Christ, what he has done, what has happened to him. And so we don't have a perspective that's limited to 70, 80, 90, 20 years on this earth. Or our security includes all our years on this earth. But it's not limited to this life. It's not how a fallen world defines security. Our security comes in being shown salvation from God, dwelling in the shadow of the Most High. Abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. Even as the theologian John Calvin says in his commentary on this psalm, troubles, it is true, of various kinds assail the believer. But the psalmist means that God stands between him and the violence of every assault so as to preserve him from being overwhelmed. And that's what our catechism picks up so wonderfully when it says in response to the question, what is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. I belong. I belong to Jesus. That's security. And belonging to Jesus, belonging to the one who, though righteous, suffered and died to pay for sins, belonging to him, believer, your sins are forgiven. You have been set free from the tyranny of the devil. The Lord watches over you so that not a hair can fall from your head without the will of your Father in heaven. Will those hairs fall? Oh, yes. Look around. You know it. I know it. But not one apart from the will of your Father in heaven. All things must work together for your salvation. Isn't that what Psalm 91 teaches us? You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. The terror is there. The arrow flies. The pestilence comes. There's life. There's death. And you and I might succumb to that arrow, to the pestilence, to death, temporarily. But never to the fear of it. Never to the terror of it. Christ has taken away that sting by his own death and resurrection, by his fulfilling all righteousness for us. Trusting in the Lord, belonging to Jesus, you and I need not fear anything. Trust him. And while in this life, evil will come, plague will come near, God will command his angels to guard you. They will bear you up. You will call to God and he will answer you. God will be with you in trouble. Verse 15 says all that. He will rescue you. He will honor you. You will dwell in the shelter of the Most High, you who entrust yourselves to Jesus. There's your security. Eternal security. Perfect, wonderful security. I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. For everything else will fail you. Your parents will fail you. Your spouse will fail you. Your children will fail you. I will fail you. You will fail each other. Christ does not. He never does. I belong to Jesus. So what security is there? Those who say that question, what security? Here it is. Jesus has paid for my sins with his precious blood. Jesus has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. Jesus watches over me so not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. All things must work together for my salvation. There's your security, child of God. Remember that. Trust him. Tell each other of that. Live securely by living with God. Now, that security does not come from man, from you, from any other. But as we consider in our second point, security from God, security from God. And look again at the psalm we read, Psalm 91. Where is the psalmist's trust? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? Children, you know, did he write about how strong Israel's army was? No. Did he praise the wisdom of Israel's rulers? No. Did he look to himself and how clever he was? No. His praise, his trust, it's all directed toward God. From God he receives security. Living with God granted security. And that's where our trust must always be directed, to the Lord. It's what fueled the Apostle Paul through his ministry, the focus of which comes to expression in the prayer we read from Ephesians 3. And we find that mirrored in the first question and answer of the catechism. Our comfort comes from God. How is that, though? Does God give us comfort like a magician? Wave his hand? Perform a trick? Some mystical ceremony, perhaps, we have to perform to try to get this comfort, this security? No, it's not like that. We can't manipulate, we can't control God, we can't document with scientific instruments to repeat it, the security and comfort that God gives. But again, consider again Paul's prayer there in Ephesians. He prays to the Father that by the work of the Spirit, through the indwelling blessedness of Jesus, the saints would be blessed. So it is in our catechism. Our belonging to Jesus gives us security of the Father's protection. Now, the Spirit's work upon us. Our security, our comfort comes from God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is, the security spoken of by the psalmist is one that is within the plan and purpose of God the Father. He has a plan, he has a purpose for all creatures, all events. Everything occurs exactly as he has determined it would. And because of his love with which he loved us, he sent his son Jesus into the world to take upon himself our guilt, our punishment, so God's wrath would be removed from his people forever. We would be forever right. Jesus fully paid for all our sins with his precious blood. He set us free. Jesus rules even over those who don't acknowledge him, those who oppose him. And then by the work of the Holy Spirit, we're assured of this blessedness. And we're moved to live for God. That's how this blessed security comes to us. How it's ours. It's how we live securely by living with God. And so many today look for security elsewhere. What about you, people of God? Are you looking to an insurance policy for security? Are you looking to the type of job you have, maybe to the skills you've developed or your education or your farming ability? Are you looking to your children, to your spouse for security? Are you looking to your bank account, your retirement account? Or are you trying to escape reality? Are you avoiding the insecurity of the world by trying to go to liquor or romantic relationships or books or movies? What is it? Because although we profess to be Christians, and by God's grace, we are Christians, we aren't perfect. Far from it. We're not perfect in where we look for security. You're not, I'm not. Our own lives show we do not look only to the Most High. We don't, as we ought, rest content in the shadow of the Almighty. We don't trust only and completely in God, our refuge, our fortress. Like the Apostle Peter, as he walked on the water from the boat, came to Jesus. He looked away and he saw the wind and the waves. His faith faltered. So our faith falters, doesn't it? Mixes in fear with trust in God, fear of things around us. Congregation, repent. Repent of your lack of faith. Confess to God your fear of the future, of the past, of others, of your own sins, your own weaknesses. Confess to God that you're putting your faith in other people or in things or other places than God alone through Jesus. I'm not just talking about faith for forgiveness of sins, yes, but faith for life. Where's your security? Confess your weak faith to the Lord. Remember the gospel. Tell it to yourself again and again and again. And he forgives, he pardons, despite our weak faith. Ask him to strengthen your faith as you think about again and again the gospel. But even still, it's not the strength of our faith that saves us. It's Christ who saves through faith. Even if that faith is as small as a mustard seed. Christ's blood was shed for his people, of which the full benefit is received even through a weak, frail faith. God the Father has become your Father because of the work of Christ for you, even though your faith is weak. God the Spirit indwells you regardless of the strength of your faith. It is he who works faith in the first place. He strengthens that faith. Your security, believer, is not in you. Not at all. It's in God alone. Trust him. That's the only comfort in life and in death. Belonging to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Live securely by living with God. Now, the world doesn't receive that. The world rejects it. The world does not want to belong to God. It wants to be its own man, its own woman. Take your hands off me. It wants to pursue its own desires, to follow its own law. But what needless pain we bear because we don't make the Lord our dwelling. May the Lord grant that they would realize their error, their sin, their foolishness. For those who seek security in themselves or in others, who don't submit to God and trust him, their under God's wrath. There is no security there. The psalmist brought that out in Psalm 73 as we read earlier in our praise selection. They might profit in the world, but they're on a slippery slope. And unless the Lord does turn them and give them repentance, the insecurity of their life will only change into utter hopelessness and despair, destruction. True security in this life and the next, true security comes only from God. Again, do you know that security? You might have grown up in church from your earliest days. Do you possess that comfort? If not, cry out to the Lord. Cry out and say, Lord, save me. Give me life. Give me righteousness. Help me. We must all cry out to God every day of our lives. Even as the Apostle Paul brought out in Ephesians, grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in Him and in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints how long and wide and high and deep, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's what the Apostle Paul prayed for the saints. Pray that yourself. It's the only way to have true, lasting security. It's to have it from God. To have it by belonging to Jesus. And then having this security, we are free then to live. We're saved to serve. I move to that in our third point. Security leading to service. Security leading to service. To service. And many people are seeking security, earthly security, through earthly means. Why? So they can have fun, so they won't stay up at night worrying, so they can retire when they reach some age. The world is looking to have that security so they can pursue their own wants, agenda. It's not to be that way with us, brothers and sisters. God comforts us in Christ. He grants security in Jesus by the Spirit. Why? So we would serve Him and others. That's why God made you, why He made me, to serve. God didn't make us to receive all these blessings and consume them on our lusts. He blesses us so we would bless others, so we would praise Him. If someone's feeling insecure, fretting if God is their father or not, fretting about righteousness, forgiveness, fretting about the future, the past, the economy, their job, their family, their health, they aren't free then to live. Worry takes up so much of our life, our thinking, our energy. It saps us. And the worse the worry is, the insecurity is, the more debilitated someone is. Someone can't even function. Try to go about some of their normal life, but it's not normal. Is that you, congregation? And then as God's servant, I encourage you, I exhort you, by God's grace, look to Jesus again and again and again, constantly, for righteousness, for life, for security. As we train our eyes on Jesus, we're assured God is our Father because of Christ. Our sins are forgiven. His wrath is removed. All things must work together for our salvation. When you have that faith, you are free to live. You have a security to serve. But that's not a free pass to live for yourself, to do what you want to do. That's not living out of faith, and that will only wind you back in insecurity, in despair, in worry. When God grants comfort, He grants it not just so that guilt is removed, not just to assure us of eternal life, but as we confess, he sends His Spirit to us to make us wholeheartedly willing and ready to live for Him. What does that look like? Well, it means we worship Him. It means we pray. It means we read and study His Word. It means we fellowship with the saints. It means we strive to live according to His commandments. We seek to do to others as we want them to do to us. That's why God gives us security, to strive to bring Him glory. It's not what the world is looking for. It's not what our sinful flesh craves. It's not even what we do as we ought with this security, but it's the goal of this comfort. As we, by God's grace, through the working of the Spirit, we live this way. We live securely. We live comfortably. Even if everything in this life appears to be going wrong, your life perspective is right. You're abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. You're trusting in the Lord. You're blessed. Live by faith, not by sight. And then reach out to your neighbors. Reach out to your coworkers, your family, your friends, as you see them live indulgently. See them live in fear. However it is their insecurity shows itself forth in alcohol, drugs, whatever it may be, pray for them. And when God gives you the opportunity, talk to them. Or as they see how you're dealing with the stresses in life, with the insecurity, and ask you how you're doing. You don't have to deny it. Christians, Calvinists, don't deny reality. We face it. We have a comfort. Body and soul, life and in death, belonging to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And even if things go south, even if you get sick and die, even if it goes very hard for you in this life, our hope isn't there. It's not here. Tell them you have a way to deal with the fears and stresses. Tell them about Jesus. Ask to pray with them. Pray for them. Invite them to come with you to church. And yet how weak our faith is, brothers and sisters. All that we would live perfectly by faith. But the Lord is so kind, isn't he? Even though we're weak, he's strong. And he continues to uphold us. He continues to comfort us. Rest assured, brothers and sisters, the Lord will not abandon you. He will not forsake you. Read again and again Psalm 91. Meditate on the gospel. Pray for greater faith. And then trust. Don't presume on God, certainly not. Trust him, though. There's your comfort, belonging to Christ, being secure in God through Christ by his Spirit, and then being comforted, live. Live for God's glory. Live for your neighbor. May God receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, so much is around us. So much would kill us, thwart us, destroy us. But you, O Lord, are our fortress, our refuge, the shadow of the Almighty. We confess our faith is weak, though. And so often we adopt the mindset of the world. Lord, forgive us. Renew our minds. Focus us on Christ. That we would live as you want us to live, as you tell us to live. We would live by faith, not by sight. That we can point others to Jesus. In whatever way their insecurity shows up, even if they're very proud and boastful, point them to Jesus. Or we pray in Jesus' name, amen.